You're listening to Ascension. Hosted by multiple President's Club winner and executive sales coach, Brandon Nye. As an award-winning sales leader at a major medtech powerhouse, Brandon Nye knows how to help you elevate your game. Your career, your success, and your quality of life all hinge on your ability to convert sales prospects. And no matter the industry, Brandon is here to help. This show provides you the mindset, the tools, and the strategies to take your career to the next level. Are you ready? Here's your host, Brandon Nye.
All right, welcome back to Ascension. I'm your host, Brandon Nye. We've got a great show for you today. I'm joined by Dan Fantasia with Treeline Inc. He's a sales leader and expert in culture and has actually helped to place over 3,300 world-class sales professionals into the marketplace. Thanks for coming on here, Dan. We appreciate you.
Thanks for having me, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this conversation. So in today's show, we're going to talk about hiring managers, what you can, some best practices on bringing in top talent, the current state of the talent markets out there, and you know how to attract, retain, and continue to build an elite sales force. So that's what Dan's done over the past two plus decades, and has really risen to the top of his class and been in Fox News, and he's been featured in Inc. magazine. So I appreciate you coming on to Ascension and schooling us, Dan. Thank you.
Yeah. I don't know if it's schooling, but I'll give you my opinion. That's for sure.
Cool. So let's talk about the current state of the market, right? So I feel like we've gone through some ebbs and flows. You know, it's definitely like, I'll give you an example, right? When we came out of COVID, prior to COVID, it seemed like what then was a normal market as a hiring manager, right? Then we go into COVID, come out, and we're on a hiring frenzy, just like everyone else. And it felt like it was very difficult to land that elite class sales professional, because there was every company out there bidding for these candidates. Now it seems that it's like almost normalized a little bit. Maybe it has turned back in favor of the employer. Sitting in your shoes, you know, working with all these different companies, where are we? And you know, what's the mindset of the marketplace right now?
Yeah, I guess it's all around perspective, right? After COVID, to your point, you know, we're exclusive to sales. We only work in the sales profession. So after COVID, you're absolutely right. Everyone boomed, right? Everyone was hiring. It was going crazy, and you know, companies need to hire. So every company has their pot full of duds. I mean, I took that from Jack Welch. Right. Every company has their pot full of duds. So when they are looking to hire and the market's so competitive, they don't always necessarily get a talent. The market has tightened up a bit. We've seen July and August to be slower than we have last year, of course. But summer months in the sales profession are always slow for us. Right now, we're starting to pick up a tremendous amount of speed and we have a lot of activity. The challenge that companies are having, right, Brandon, is that there are a lot of people, potential candidates that they could consider, but the challenge still remains the same. We're trying to bring elite talent, like, right, elite sales athletes to organizations to help grow the company. And right now, what some companies are doing are top grading. So they may be shedding some of the C players to hire and take advantage of this economy so that they can bring on A players. But still, A players need to be found. They're still working. They're still hitting their numbers. They're still focused on their quotas, their targets, their president club trips, right? They're right. Focused on getting the job done. So the challenge for most companies is they are getting a lot of noise. They're seeing a lot of candidates, but it's a lot of noise. They're still not finding A players. The reason why they're working with us is you still need access to that hidden talent, those individuals that aren't necessarily actively looking, but they are considering options, and the options need to meet their specific criteria, or they're just not looking at new opportunities.
Yeah, that makes a ton of sense. And what you said about finishing out the year and their stack rankings and President's Club is those A players are at the top, right? And so it wouldn't be like they would be considering a new opportunity unless there was upside or unless it was going to be worth it to make change, right? And so companies that are trying to attract A-level talent can't come in at market, right? Because market's not going to, they're not going to be able to take, you know, to be able to attract people because they're not in pain, right? A-level players are not in pain. You know, they usually have the leverage. So it's a matter of, you know, companies having a value proposition that's greater than market that could disrupt someone who's on a roll. And in Q3 and Q4, this is when I like to call it separation season. This is when like the people really kind of separate from where they are in their stack. And the further and further we get towards the end of the year, the less likelihood people would be willing to make a change because they're going to be in bonus territory. They're going to be, you know, winning the President's Club trip, which won't be until May or June of next year, which is pretty smart on company's behalf. So then you got, you know, so there's all those kind of factors. So as a recruiter, so what is your strategy? Do you guys have these ongoing conversations with these people to keep them warm, or how do you stay engaged with A-level players that may not be in the market?
Yeah. So sometimes, remember, we're constantly recruiting. We're building relationships. We have this gigantic network because we've been in business for 22 years. We've been doing it for so long. We've helped BDRs find their first opportunities, and now we're hiring for them as VPs.
Right.
And that takes a long time. It just takes a long time to do that. But when an individual is looking for a new opportunity, we might have tapped into a really talented enterprise salesperson last March in 2022. And they said, you know, things are going good, but I want enough runway. And I realized that searching for a new opportunity requires time. And I wanted to check in with Treeline. I wanted to tell you what I'm doing and what I'm looking for. And if something pops up that meets this criteria, would you let me know? Yeah. And so they might hear from us every 6 months. They might hear from us once a year or even longer. But what's nice about what we're doing is when a company calls us and say, we need to hire now, we tap into that same exact audience, right? Those same individuals that meet the criteria and would find this opportunity to be interesting. And then we reach out to them. And because we've built such a strong brand, we've been doing this for so long, we're trusted advisors. So when we're highly recommending an opportunity, we can get individuals excited. And for those individuals, they know we're not wasting their time.
Right.
Right. It advances their career both professionally as well as financially. And now they can consider opportunities they would have never heard of before. The other thing that tends to happen, Brandon, and you know this, is companies change, right? New CRO comes in, new comp structure pops up, the company is struggling, there's a riff, and now individuals are getting nervous or worried. So that's when they may reach out to us in Q4 and say, you know, I didn't want to leave, but this is what's changed. And because this has changed, I'm more active in my search. So for companies that just flip the switch and say, go hire, when they try to do it on their own, it's really tough because they don't necessarily have that network and community behind them that they've been recruiting for 22 plus years.
Right.
And so they're at a disadvantage. When they come to us, this is just our business. We've been doing this for so long. We have so many relationships. We have access to this talent that we can reach out to, educate, get them excited about your opportunities. And then that's how we tend to build pipeline for companies.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. And having staying power in the marketplace gives you a tremendous advantage, right? Because those people you hired as entry-level reps now are vice presidents of sales. And, you know, that there's that relationship and that trust that's been built. And, you know, kudos to you on where you're positioned in the marketplace. I've got a question. So we've got people that are, you know, that listen to this show that are first time managers, right? And they've never even hired anybody, but now they're tasked to doing it. And we've got people who've been managing people and leading people for a long time. What are some of the best practices to, as a hiring manager, when you're presented a candidate or you're going out to the marketplace to bring in and fill a role, that you know, managers should be approaching the market? Well, what's the mindset behind it and some of the strategies on getting these people to actually join the company?
Yeah, I mean, for new managers, the first thing you want to really do is understand the sales model and the selling environment, because the sales characteristics that fit that environment are critical for you to be recruiting for, right? So a lot of times a new manager may just say, I know what I'm looking for. I'm looking for someone that's aggressive and competitive and a go-getter and, you know, help me find these people. Well, those are a lot of soft skills, but we can actually really dive in and help you find someone much more specific that meets your selling environment, that meets the same, you know, cultural or, you know, core values that the company requires to be successful. So the first thing is really understanding what you need. And sometimes, Brandon, you don't understand what you need until you start interviewing candidates in the market. And once you start to interview top talent, you start to realize, all right, I understand from this wide brushstroke of, you know, candidates that I've talked to, these are the three I really like. And I'm actually looking for this type of skill set. You know, Treeline, help me find more people that look like Jane Jones or John Smith or what have you, or to their recruiting department or to themselves.
For sure.
But the idea is you really need that data to come in. You need to understand what the candidate pool looks like in the market, who's interested, what their comp structure looks like, and then you become much more educated. And then the last thing is make sure you have a tidy interview process. You move quickly, which means that you have to influence other managers that are part of the process. You need to have a well-organized, quick process to move top talent through the interview cycle, because if you don't, the only candidates you'll be left with are the C players that hang around long enough to stand, you know, to basically stay through your process to consider the opportunity.
Yeah, no, that is a huge point. I think that's somewhere where as I've gone along in my career, the mistakes I've made, right, of interviewing someone and then trying to get buy-in from the rest of the chain. And in that process, like weeks go by, right? And yeah. Somebody who's real serious about their life and their career is not going to wait for weeks as we try to get our stuff together, you know, as a company to interview and make decisions. And I definitely think that those deficiencies of time, right? That they hurt in the long run, and you are left over with the people who are just tolerant enough, because their options are limited, right? So that's a really good point is the speed. I bet that's feedback that you've received over the years from top people that are like, look, companies seem cool, but it was too big of a, too long of a process, too many loose ends that didn't get tied up. And then like, they no longer have faith in, should I even leave my current organization? I'll just stay with what I'm doing. Right. So that's a really strong point. You're talking about soft skills and hard skills, what do you mean specifically on those, the two different categories?
Yeah. I mean, the hard skills again are back to the sales characteristics that, that make up your selling environment. So for example, if you have a transactional sale and your average deal size is $10,000 to $30,000 with a 1 to 2 month sales cycle, and you're interviewing people that have a 18 month sales cycle with a, you know, $250,000 to $500,000 average deal size. Well, when that person walks in the door, they're going to seem great. They're going to be smart, articulate, intelligent. They're going to seem like they're the right salesperson for your organization. But when you go to hire them, they don't fit the sales characteristics of your selling environment, right? So they can't handle a transactional environment. They don't like a transactional environment. And when they have to do the work and keep up with the KPIs and the activity required to be successful, they don't like it. So they burn out after 6 months and vice versa, right? If you have a transactional person looking at a strategic selling environment, typically it's just not a good match, unless of course the individual is placed incorrectly at the beginning of their career in a transactional environment where they'd be better in a strategic environment, you know, so on and so forth. For the soft skills, everyone, you know, everyone says they're looking for the same soft skills, but again, depending on the environment, you might need a high energy, driven, focused, motivated individual with a lot of gas in their engine. And you might also have more of a really technical sale that you need a really strong technical individual, but still, so they might not display the same soft characteristics of that in your face kind of driver mentality, but they do have the technical expertise. And more importantly, they still have, you know, the gas in the motor. So they're workers. They go after it. They may not appear to be the type of salesperson you might imagine, but they end up being top producers and do very well depending on the selling environment.
Yeah. I guess this is as you've been doing this for several decades, the hiring managers that have the best track record, where are they more, less flexible on, right? Is it, hey, I'm less flexible on these hard skills and, you know, the soft skills, you know, everyone kind of presents the ideal soft skills in an interview process, or is it this art of being able to figure it out, you know, from there? Cause I know myself personally, like, you want to bet on people, right? Especially if they present the right soft skills and all the like you talked about, the driver mentality and all that, but they may lack some hard skills, and then maybe they work out, maybe they don't. Over time, I'm just curious, do people get more regimented and it's like, no, they don't meet the criteria, I'm not going to go off of the lessons I've learned from the past?
I mean, again, it all depends on each corporation, but what I would say is that the raw sales talent is number one, right? The domain expertise is a function of functional accountability from the management team, meaning, do you want to put the time and effort into training this person, about the industry and the domain, right? If it's not complicated, I'd go for the soft skills and that sales mentality first, and then put the time into each individual to train them and coach them and ramp them up, onboard them so that they can be successful. They might take a little time to ramp up, but those core values and that, the personality characteristics will take them really into being a top producer.
Yeah.
And so for many companies, they'll start doing that, right? They'll start by finding talent just like that. They'll ramp them up. They'll coach them. They'll teach them. They'll become their top sales representatives. And so the second round or third round of hiring, when we sit down with the company, we'll say, you know, tell us what your sales organization looks like. Who are your top performers? What are their backgrounds? 9 times out of 10, this is going to be crazy, Brandon, but 9 times out of 10, a company will say, well, you know what? We're actually not looking for that skill set anymore. So the people that are our top producers, we love them and they're awesome, but it's not what we're looking for anymore. And wow. So they tend to lose their way, and now they're looking for a direct competitor, but they may not have the budget to hire a direct competitor, because when you go for a direct competitor to pull them from a company, they're going to want more money than they're making now. And if it's not worth their while, they're not going to make the move.
Right.
And so sometimes they lose their way and they lose some direction, and there's no silver bullet to easily finding top sales talent. You still have to work really hard to find the right talent that's going to add value to your organization.
Yeah. I think about so many people who are well-intended on how they're going to train, you know, their people, and, you know, how they got systems in place to onboard, but then we bring in, you know, people that present all the soft skills, don't have the hard skills. And then it's like 6 months later, we're like, where are the deals? And yeah, that person wasn't all they cracked up to be. And I think that's on the hiring manager, right? If you don't have the infrastructure in place and you're not going to put the work and the systems in place to onboard people correctly, train them, give them the hard skills, then you're doing them a disservice to have this fantasy land that you're, you know, that they're going to just learn by osmosis by being around other people in the organization. So that I think that's something we should all be a little more careful of as we're hiring on. It's because it's not fair. It's not fair to the company. It's not fair to the candidate and the future employee. And we're wasting time and valuable resources. So
yeah, it's true. Yeah, it's so true. I mean, they need to have the engine to push themselves and push hard to get the job done. Right. Yeah. You still need to hire those soft skills to, you know.
So I'm questioning this. So soft skills, like one of ours that I identified a couple of years ago was one, they got to be like competitive as hell. Right. And so they can present some things from their past that show they're competitive, whether it's a sports background, their current, you know, if they, you know, in their brag book, that's like, hey, here's me in the stack rankings, those sort of things. The second, which kind of goes in line with that competitive as hell thing, is that they derive their identity, a large portion of it, from their performance at work, right? Going back to, you know, the rankings, the accolades. I mean, you can see like the, you know, the those sort of things. And so one of the famous questions that, you know, we'll ask in one form or another is, hey, what's more of a motivator? Is it going to be standing on stage in front of your peers at the national sales meeting, you know, winning an award, or is it having the best W-2 you've ever had? Right. And it's like, both are great answers, but does one really give you the answer on the identity part? Right. And so I'm trying to flesh out my process of like really dialing in, hey, these soft skills, because like I said before, everyone gives you the answers that they you want to hear in the interview process. How do you fact check them? Like, is there some good like things to pressure test in order to really uncover, you know, or are we just getting kind of laser wrapped or smoke and mirrored in the interview process?
Yeah, it's a little smoke and mirror, but typically if you can, number one, if you can get an interview or a candidate to be, you know, honest in the interview process, it's very helpful. And in explaining to them that you don't want to be sold and you don't plan to sell them, but we're just trying to come together and understand each other's, you know, I want to understand your background and you want to understand the company. And the better job we do of explaining that to each other, the closer we'll come to finding a great match.
Right.
So let's not, you know, don't consider an interview, consider the conversation to see if this is a great match.
So proper framing is a good way to start the conversations. It's like, hey, let's,
yeah.
You don't need to sell me. I don't need to sell you. Let's just talk.
Yeah.
Okay.
The second thing is what we found is that when we interview candidates, we go all the way back, right? When they got out of high school or in high school, what we want to find out, we want to understand their work ethic, because while we're not trying to drive individuals to burnout and only think about work as their number one priority, we are trying to find people that identify with their work, and whether they like the work itself or not, they work hard to complete it. They're still driven to get the job done, to meet their basic activity metrics. And those that focus on that basic activity metric that gets the job done every single day tend to be top producers. They stay late to make sure they are accountable to themselves and they get the job done. Like those individuals, we like to ask, what was it, you know, in high school? Did you work through high school? Did you work through college? Did you ride your bike down to the local pizza place and, you know, become an employee? And then did you stay late? Did you hang in there? Did you play sports? When you played sports, were you the top athlete or were you an athlete that just got it done, right? You showed up every day, and before you know it, you became the captain of the team, not because you were the most talented, it's because you worked the hardest for the 4 years through high school, became the captain and the MVP of the season, right? Did you do the same thing in college? Did you do a work study and play a sport and, you know, get great grades? Like those individuals that set goals, work hard, achieve those goals at all level in their lives will continue to do the same thing in your company. Like, you know, salespeople are creatures of habit. If you can find that habit and you can show those successes, as small as they may seem, and for an individual, they may take them for granted. So getting that information out of them to understand who they are and their personality type is really helpful. But if you can find that person and you bring them on board, they will push incredibly hard to meet the activity metrics required, to drive hard, to work late, to make sure that they do not fail and they become one of your top producers.
Yeah, I love that. Going all the way back to high school, and what was their childhood like, right? Like,
yeah.
That's going to shape what their adult, their model of the world is, right? And that's, I think that's a big part of this is figuring out those things that you can't install into them. They have to be, you know, kind of come from the past. So, well, Dan, I've enjoyed this conversation. And where can my listeners find you?
Yeah, you can find me on LinkedIn at Dan Fantasia. You can message me or email me at any time, or you can, if you're looking for more information on our company, our website is treelineinc.com. For hiring managers, we have a resource page that has a compensation calculator and all kinds of great things to identify and understand, you know, top sales talent. So yeah, definitely check out our website and email me directly.
In prep for this interview, I was on your website. You've got a lot of great content that was very easy to access, and I found very, very helpful. So, you know, hiring managers, go check them out. And I appreciate you coming on to Ascension on the Inner Circle Edition. And Dan, have a great day and leave us a 5-star rating review, and we'll see you on the next episode of Ascension.
Yeah, thanks, man. I appreciate it. You have a great day too.